into his box. He just runs right in the pack. I wonder if he's got damage. Look at that tire. Almost went into the crowd as well.
Almost went onto the front straightaway. Elio trying to get sneaky. And then...
Maury Rose, the two-time winner, takes the lead from Faulkner. That's the way they finish the first lap.
Mike from Pitline Parlay sent me, and this is his question. Are you ready?
Okay.
Sure. Wants to know if you're going on the greatest baker show, the group and baking show.
Oh, I would love to. I'm not, but I would love to.
What?
I know.
You
should. I feel like I should too.
And he also told me to tell you that he hasn't watched any more Harry Potter.
I didn't think he would. He's let down.
Yeah. So next year, I know we haven't announced yet, but are you excited? Is it?
Oh, I'm really excited for the future. I'm excited when the appropriate time is to.
Yeah.
You know, share that info.
Sure.
You know, I've had such a great time at My Shack Racing, and it's just it's been one of the most incredible chapters of my life. You know, certainly in my professional life, and obviously we'll be sad when it comes to an end. But I'm, you know, as one closes, another opens, as they say. So. I'm excited to write the next one, and hopefully that's not the final one, and we just keep progressing through that until it's time for the final chapter.
How was Mike Shank when you gave him the news? How did that go?
I don't know really. I have so much respect for Michael.
Sure.
And Jim, you know, it's never a fun conversation when you kind of have that. And I mean, honestly, the details of conversations.
In the end, it's business.
I think my relationship with the team maybe is a little stronger than just like, you know, driver,
right.
Team dynamic.
Absolutely.
You know, and the details of those conversations, you know, are really just going to stay between us, hopefully, unless they decide they want to share them. You know, but I think over, maybe not initially, but over time, I think everyone understands that, you know, I have so much respect for everybody that I would never intentionally do anything with any malice or, you know,
Absolutely.
Anything like that. And,
yeah.
You know, I think. Respectful is a word I've tried to keep in my mind since I've been in the NTT IndyCar series, you know, as a just 500 to part time to full time, you know, respect for the teams, my you know, my colleagues as drivers, and yeah.
So Nashville, I mean, are you excited? It's
awesome. I mean, it's the first time I've been here
ever,
you know, and it's been so cool just walking around and, you know, feeling the vibrancy of the city.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to go and buy some cowboy boots.
I feel like, you know, if you don't, I might be disappointed.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously the track lock is going to be
really
cool as well. And, you know, I think street circuits so often just, you know, the vibrancy of the city, you know, is what makes the event so fun, and probably more so than anywhere else I think we go. I mean, I feel like we're in the heart of the city.
Oh,
we
do?
Yeah.
You know, and some other places we go, I mean, you feel it, and, you know, you're racing on the street circuit, but I don't know, I feel like we're even more immersed in the city here, so it's very cool.
Yeah, it's almost like I expect a target on the next
corner.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, for sure. I feel the same way.
Yeah, so is there any part of the track that you were just like stoked for or terrified for?
I don't think I've ever driven over a bridge before. Twice, in fact, the same lap. We're going obviously over it and back over it. I mean, I think just the whole place is cool.
Yeah.
You know, I think from turn four back to the exit of eight, it looks like it's going to be incredibly narrow. There's a lot of off camber there, the walls stick out, and all sorts of funny places. And, you know, after that, I think it's just going to be. I thought it was really cool to be part of an inaugural Grand Prix, you know, because before the race, you know, we're talking about what we think the strategy will be, and it's only the strategy on information that we know, and we know nothing about this place. So there's going to be a lot of interesting things, and, you know, a lot of looking back at this weekend on, you know, what was good, what was bad, and, you know, what do we want to do when we come back next year, hopefully. So
heard that the exit of pit lane is pretty tight.
It's going to be snug. It's definitely going to be snug. I don't know exactly how they're going to police that, but it's going to be it's going to be incredibly difficult, I think, to what's up, buddy? You know, trying to blend everyone in a safe way. But also, I think the start's going to be pretty lively because, I mean, it's pretty wide going into turn nine there. So we'll have to just wait and see how those things shimmy and shake out. And I think the key to, you know, today, tomorrow, Sunday, obviously Sunday, is just staying out of trouble and just getting to the end. You know, on a race like this, as many laps as we can get, the better.
Right, and everybody has an extra set of tires, so,
yes, I believe so.
Everybody will be practicing probably a lot more than
definitely.
Normally.
I normally see like people wait like 10 or 15 minutes. I'm not sure you're going to see that 10 or 15 minutes in practice one today.
Yeah, so, okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, cheers.
Obviously, all these are familiar to you, but
ultimately, I said this on the call, I need to hit something with it. Like, I want to know what it's like to crash one of these things, and I sure as hell don't want to do it in a test session and draw the attention to it and all that, but that's like the $1 million question to me. After that, you know, just understanding how different the car is versus a NASCAR vehicle, Montoya is convinced that my years of experience on ovals, there's just a way to drive the car and a way to use the line through the corner that's very efficient in an Indy car, and I will be very competitive. So I'm eager to see what that is. He's not a man of a lot of words, so
right.
It's hard to really extract from him what that is, but I absolutely believe him and look forward to trying to find that competitive piece that comes with it.
But you don't want to feel the impact. You want to know what the edge is. Am I getting that right? Or?
It's true. Yeah. A little both.
Okay.
I mean, like, I tried to be the first one to pull after his crash at Indy. Sage Karen, all those guys. I just want to know, like, how bad does it hurt? You know, I know what it feels like to have all that steel around you and have it crush on an impact. I don't know what, you know, knocking off a couple wheels that are supported by toothpicks feels like. So that's part of it, you know?
What do you think it'll do for you, that knowledge?
That knowledge, you know, falls into that category of the safety side, and just one, you know, just trying to make sure that I'm making smart decisions, good decisions in that respect. Yeah.
What makes Homestead the ideal testing location for you instead of Gateway? Because we've heard you say, I want to do test at Homestead. What makes that the ideal place instead of Gateway?
I think that Texas would be ideal since the team has history there. But from what I understand, Texas isn't available prior to the potential opportunity to drive the brick. So we want to be on a larger track, and I don't know if it was more CGR or IndyCar.
I feel like the transitions as you're coming off the bridges could be pretty bad, but you know, when we did that kind of lap this morning, you're going so slow that you're not going to feel any of those. And then the other one will be the oscillation effect that you get from bridges, you know, how it's got a concrete patch, then another one, and it creates that. So we have to see, you know, once you start going at 180 miles an hour, you know, if that oscillation, you know, goes away or comes more aggressive.
Technical question. Pit exit.
Yeah.
Here's a white line. You get a, is that the straight line? Or there's a, which one do you need to cross?
So you're, yeah. So imagine the one at the end. Guessing you'll have to touch that one. That will be the one that triggers the transponder.
Okay.
But we're actually talking about moving the wall from the right over maybe two car widths, so you are forced to exit as far to the left as possible.
Oh, okay.
Which we were meant to do half of that this morning, but then they did nothing overnight, so I'm not sure. But that line on the right, the white one, is meant to be about two car widths to the left from where it is.
Okay.
And they did extend the pit crews further out. So where you can turn off your pit lane speed limiter is extended by about another, 30 meters or so.
How do you feel about new courses in general? Like,
yeah,
learning them?
It's great. You know, I think the hard part is, you know, it's probably been 5 years since they first started talking about being here. So it's very difficult to do. I think there's a lot of pain to go through as well in the first few years.
Yeah.
But I think the way that this city is, the way that they've embraced it so far, and you know, that's half the battle. You know?
Absolutely.
So I think for us, it's just making sure this one goes smooth and we can keep building on it. You know?
Yeah.
There'll be some changes, I'm sure, in the near future of maybe track layout, but also, you know, how they do things here. But they've done a great job. So
far, what's your favorite part of the track?
I think the bridge, you know, like that's cool.
It
you
is
know,
very
you don't really
cool.
do that anywhere, you know. So
is it also the scariest part of the track?
You don't know, right? You know, you just see walls. The only thing you see is the bridge, but it's quite a steep climb on okay. and down, you know. So you definitely notice that it is yeah. a bridge. But yeah, you know, it's. Yeah, I think it's a pretty cool layout. You know, I think in some areas, just if they could be a bit wider, which maybe they can do in the future. But you know, we'll see how this one races. I think straight out of the box.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a couple.
And Mid Ohio, because we started so far back. But I had a pole winning car and I had a winning car to win that race. So that's where we left a lot of points on the table. Which, you know, we ended eighth, which is terrible, but it's not the best. So can't have any more of that. Stay in the top fives. Podiums, wins. That's happy pattern.
The preparation you did for this, remind me where and when sim-wise and what you've also gone over, maybe anything else, not just the sim.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like the sim is it's a very good tool to know where things go and get kind of an idea of where things wind up, close down, where kind of like braking lines might be. But I think it's absolutely useless for bumps. And just to really feel what the car is going to do. I mean, no one knows until we go out today. It's kind of like Detroit. Like, you know where it goes, but it is nowhere close to how violent and just, like, how much hustle you're going to have to do to, like, extract the lap time.
Did you feel like, obviously, Detroit was very good for you. Did you feel like that was a time when, you know, we nailed it engineering-wise, I could hustle the car all weekend long? And...
Yeah, like, we just showed up fast. Every time we show up fast, we're fine. Unless I screw up like Mid-Ohio, stuck in the back.
Yeah.
But every time, you know, the guys nail it, we're up there. When we don't is where it's tough, where you're just on the back foot. And sometimes you don't even get to the point where you figure out what was wrong. And sometimes it's like, well, we stayed where we started. Or sometimes it's like, boom, we got better.
Qualifying will be vital tomorrow.
Massive. Yeah. Tomorrow, I think qualifying is going to... it's going to be like a Long Beach-esque kind of race. I mean, it's where you start, you'll maybe go, you know, plus two, three, minus two or three. But you're... Obviously, if you don't make any stupid mistakes, you'll stay within the range of where you start. Just because it's so competitive, everybody's so similar. But qualifying is going to be very important. We need to execute.
Did you have any bucket list items for Nashville, downtown, Broadway, honky-tonks, anything like that that you checked off this week?
Food, dude. Oh, my God.
Okay.
The food is amazing.
Specifically?
I went to this place called Adele's.
Okay.
Highly recommend. I went to that Chisito Peppers. I went to this place called... 60 Vines. Wonderful food. I wanted to go to this place called Milk and Honey.
Yep.
But it's always like a 45-minute wait.
Right, right.
So I haven't had the chance to do that.
Did you do the hot chicken anywhere?
No hot chicken. I'm not a big chicken fan.
I'm not a big chicken fan. You like spice?
I like spice.
You don't like chicken?
I don't like chicken. I mean, chicken, it's like, it's not my first choice. I'm more of a salmon, fish. I'm more of like a fish side. Sometimes, very rarely, rare meat.
Okay.
Like red meat.
So if I could get you Nashville hot spice on a piece of fish,
yeah,
you'd go there.
I'll try.
Any suggestions? No, I don't know. This is my first time.
That feels like a bad question.
Petty Beast does not have fish as far as
I mean, I will. I mean, it's not that I hate it. It's just,
right.
I don't know. I've had a lot of chicken in my life the past like 6 years. I've wanted to tone it down.
These are the hard questions.
You don't really
No, I don't do much fried besides, I mean, when I go to like Japanese places, I love veggie tempura.
Okay.
But I don't do a lot of fried stuff. I try to lay off the bread.
Let me explore the chicken thing one more time. So was it because you were watching weight? Is that where the chicken came in? You just got tired of it?
I got tired of it.
Yeah.
Switch it up.
Was it for weight? I mean,
I went to more of like a vegan kind of diet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. When I'm traveling, it's really hard.
Yeah.
So when I'm traveling, I try to do a lot of like not red meat or not chicken, just like fish. It's not, I mean, you go to restaurants and they're like, sorry, we don't have any vegan options. All right, do you have a salmon? Mostly everyone has a salmon or a sea bass or whatever. Yesterday I had a great white fish. I don't even know what was the name, but it was a special at this place called Etch. E-T-C-H.
Okay.
Great. Great fish. And big chocolate guy. Love chocolate, like dark chocolate.
Ooh. Good thing you're still young and have metabolism. Okay, more serious. Street race, street course etiquette, in your words, and how it plays out here this weekend. Not a lot of room out there.
No. The more running you get, I think the better prepared you're going to be. I feel like you're just going to, as soon as the green flag, because you usually see 15, 20 minutes at the first session, and it's like, no one's going out besides the guys that have an extra set. But I think as soon as the green flag goes here, everyone's just going to go laps and laps and laps and laps and laps.
But how about during the race? What's permissible, and is it just game on? Or is it so tight that you got to be a little more?
It's going to be tight. It's going to be a one-lane racetrack in a lot of places like Detroit, like Detroit Sector 3 kind of. But there should be some, man, it's wide. Like, getting into the start of the race, turn one, which is turn probably like 9 or something, at the end of the bridge, of the second pass over the bridge. Man, it's like wide. So you can probably do a shipping in there, or probably some in turn 4 after the first part of the bridge. Man, everywhere else is tight. Like, you have to wait for a mistake, or if you get like a mega run versus him, it really depends. If they block you, then it's like, well, if you're in the, I feel like if you try to do something on the outside, you have to fully clear them, kind of like I did on Palau in Detroit, to be able to actually make the corner. Because if they keep their nose in there, that tire wall is ready to receive you with open arms.
What corner was that you cleared, Alex? You talking about one?
Turn 3.
Oh, turn 3.
In Detroit.
In the restart.
Yeah, we're like, yeah. I mean, you can make a pass, but you have to go really deep on the brakes. Yeah. And you have to like clear the actual guy that you're trying to pass. But if you're not clear, like, I don't think there's been one pass done there in Detroit, side by side, on the outside.
I haven't seen you for a while, and I apologize. I know you've been asked this, and we've had races since Detroit. What was your reaction when, after the race in Detroit, it was like, engineering has found something at Arrow McLaren, and some people are going, no, we think it's just where did
I just tell them,
you?
Watch the onboard.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
That's all you need
What do
to
we
watch.
See when we watch the onboard?
Lots of movement, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the car is wiggling just like everyone else's car. It's not like we had extra grip. I just had a great car under me. I didn't use up the tires terribly. Because I was going nowhere before that yellow flag. It was just kind of like a follow the leader kind of thing. I mean, they were like a full straightaway ahead of us. So there was no way we were going to catch them with how competitive the series is. But as soon as the yellow came out, I said, ooh, it's showtime.
Okay, good.
So there's been a lot of talk about new teams coming to IndyCar next year. How do you feel about that expansion and what that says about the talent we have here?
I think it's wonderful. I think that.
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know. Know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.
Shows how the series is growing and the path we're taking. I keep saying this to everyone, this series has so much potential to be a worldwide, just, you know, massive series that goes to Mexico, Japan, Europe, America, Canada, just honestly all over the world, because the racing product is already there. So I think we're on the right track. But it's going to take time, just like everything good. But what I am worried about is about pit lanes.
Okay.
We can't squeeze in more than what we have. It's almost sometimes impossible to get into our pit box when someone's behind us.
Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about. But in terms of car count, rack it up. Bring as many as you want.
If there's space.
Yeah, if there is space, obviously. It's... I think the field is stacked in talent. And
so all of that talk about send them to F1. IndyCar is where it's at.
For a driver, and it's nothing to throw to Formula One or anything. But to me, Formula One is more of a constructors' championship. A driver can do a little bit more, you know, with the car they have. They can extract a bit more than maybe someone else. But you don't see an IndyCar have a 10-second pit stop and come back and get a podium or win the race.
Right.
That does not exist. And in Formula One, it does. You can be last halfway through the race, and then the last stint, you go straight to first because you have a Mercedes and the other guy doesn't, and you're clear through the field. From a driver's standpoint, I don't think there's a championship harder in the world to win, because you have to be good in super speedways, you have to be good in short ovals, you have to be good in street courses, you have to be good in road courses. Your team has to be good in strategy. Like, there's so many curveballs that the way the rules are in IndyCar can be thrown at you, that you have to be very quick to adapt.
Yeah.
And I just think there's nothing like this in the world. I mean, I don't know where else you see, like, how many different winners in the beginning? Like, seven or something?
We've had eight different winners, I think.
If F1 was closer, I feel like they would see what we see in IndyCar. Lando winning races, Max, Charles, Carlos, all these new guys. But when the car is just not there, then you can't.
Right.
It's just nothing you can do.
Right.
So, yeah.
Speaking of a car, you mentioned car counts at pit road. You feel like if there's so many cars, like it's going to be similar to back in the late 80s, early 90s, where some cars may have to go home, like you'd be a proponent of that, fastest going, or no, for just bring them all in for the street and courses?
I think full season entries should always have a place, because, that's just that's how my take is on it. Because there's a lot of one-offs. It's hard to say, but I think the toughest thing that the IndyCar will have is like actually organizing the pit lane, because it's just a lot of cars. Like, not everywhere. I mean, we have massive pit lanes. I think this one's actually pretty good. I mean, it's awesome.
In spite of that,
it's brand new. Yeah, it's narrow, but it's gonna be full. It's like 45 miles an hour, or whatever. But I don't think the boxes are like extremely tight, like a Mid Ohio or like a Toronto. Like in Toronto, I don't think you can fit in one more car. So
I think that's the same at Road America too. Can I get one more?
Long Beach
is tight as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a while since we've been there, but yeah, I just think that's probably the hardest thing that they'll have if we have like 30 car counts.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I've seen a lot of street tracks in my days, different Formula 3 and Formula E.
GTs and IndyCar, and I think honestly this is one of the best prepared one I've seen. Not only the actual track, but just the whole event and everything that comes with it. It seems like these guys really had a big plan in mind when they started thinking about this race, and I'm blown away. When you walk around the track, I mean, obviously it's bumpy here and there, which every street track is.
Right.
But it's nothing outstanding. And, everything just looks mega. I just really want to try it.
You'll get that chance. And I know it'll feel a little bit different when you're behind the wheel. Does it feel tighter than a St. Peter Detroit?
It's both wider and narrower. Okay. It kind of has both. Yeah, some really wide sections, some really narrow sections, some high speed. There's not a same amount of high speed corners as St. Peter, Detroit, but there's some. I think it just has a pretty good flow. That's why I bought in the simulator. There's no corners I don't like, and everything just feels dope, man. It's a long lap. You're on a mission.
Really?
When you do that qualifying lap, you're gonna be like, okay, let's bring this home. Super stoked to try it out.
Go ahead, if you have one.
What kind of passing opportunities are there on the track?
So you can basically think the bridge both ways. Like every corner linked to the bridge are gonna be like key for passing. So entering onto the bridge both ways, it's going to be important to have a good run. And then end of the bridge, I think you can make a move both directions. Then turn 10 might be like a little joker opportunity. Maybe turn 11 as well. I think honestly, like there's some corners here and there that you could surprise someone if they had like a bad run, but the main ones are probably going to be turn 4 or 9.
How excited are you for a new track that nobody has ever been on before?
I love it. I mean, I love this kind of challenge. I think I can just feel, all the drivers are kind of buzzing to get out, and it's like that mix of, being a bit nervous, like what it's going to be like, but still you just want to, it looks so cool to just, beast an IndyCar around this track, and I'm pumped. I love street tracks in general, and this is such a rare opportunity, so really cool.
Awesome.
Expand on the Joker opportunity on turns. I know what a Joker lap is, but we don't get one here.
Yeah.
So what do you mean?
No, I mean just like if someone kind of has a bad run,
just blows it.
Yeah, there could be one. If you're brave, you can probably make it work in there. And same goes for 11, because they have relatively long straights leading up to them, so there would be some room to line up the pass.
And you put him in the Joker position, then, is what you're saying. Go ahead and take the risk and put them in the Joker.
Exactly. Track. Yeah.
Did you and Caroline get any bicycling or anything out in the area?
We walked around a little bit yesterday by foot. I've been here. Actually, I think it's like the fourth time I've been here.
Okay.
So this is one of the cities I actually know the most in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
It's busy. It feels like it's weekend every day.
Did you come for the country music, or did you have a bachelor party to attend, or why did you all come?
We actually had a Swedish wedding. Some friends that live in Indy.
Yeah.
So she's Swedish and he's American from Indiana, and they married. We were actually like 30 Swedes here in Nashville. We were like bar hopping, and so every place
you
we
burned it down, didn't you?
Yeah, every place we went to was like going from half full to like over capacity, and the energy level was like
those things that are boarded up. This is fault.
How long ago was that?
That was 19, and then we went here in 20 as well. Just to like me and my girlfriend, just to chill out and have a nice weekend. And
it's a good atmosphere.
Yeah.
What's up?
Sports stars. They're like superheroes.
But they're actually real.
Which is why we've made a podcast about them. You see,
they've all got a story.
But too many of these stories were cut short.
Kobe Bryant.
Payne Stewart.
Flo Jo.
Phil Hughes.
Justin Fashanu.
We're writing episodes about all of them.
And sadly, many more.
Death of a Sports Star. A new series from Crowd Network.